Amen. Hallelujah.
You ready for me?
Okay, praise God. So briefly, I wouldn't spend too long on this. It will just be an introduction. I want to exhort us on marriage. Hallelujah. So, exhortation on marriage. And we will be asking questions, what marriage is, or what is marriage? Why marriage? Who qualifies? And when? When should I marry and all of that? And also, is there a Christian purpose to marriage? Again, what is marriage? Questions that we'll be asking ourselves and answering as we look at this subject. Why marriage? Of course, number two and number five now seem similar. Because if you ask why, then you are asking for the reason or the purpose. Amen. So what is marriage? Why marriage? Or why is marriage? Who qualifies for marriage? When should someone get married? And is there a Christian purpose to it? Hallelujah. So, we would begin by maybe let's begin how we began the last teaching series on marital relationships, godly counsel on marital relationships, which we particularly address the notion that how do I say this now? The notion that marriage shouldn't be something that we teach in church, or to say that it wasn't taught in the epistles and all of that. And don't preempt me or misquote me. I'm going somewhere. To then leave the marital issue to chance, whereby believers don't know what it is, why, how to live in it, what is expected, and so on and so forth. Now, it is important to, in Christian doctrine, avoid extremes. And extremes usually refer to going too far to the other side, or going too far on the truth, or going too far to the other side of a truth. And usually, extremes are born out of corrections. This person takes his offering, puts it in the offering envelope, speaks into it like this. You are here, you know. As you are going to the offering basket, bring money. My rent is due at the end of the month. Let it be so. Let it be so. Amen. And then something like that, what? We are no longer giving. That's an extreme. Are you there? We will. Or we will, therefore, you know, we just give. When we give, nothing happens. Eh? The fruit to your account, Uncle. The thanksgivings that abound. You give to a crusade. People get saved. They are thanking God for that day, that year, that month. That they were in that meeting, that they got healed, and they are thanking God. You think it's not your account? So, in correcting that extreme of, this is ifology. Don't give. Or, when you give, nothing happens. So you give mindlessly, you give without thinking, just like, chatting. Extremes are born out of that. Ah, these guys are praying, praying all day, praying all night. They are missing classes, they are all of that. You see all of that, you want to correct them, then you are not praying again. It's not about praying. It's about worship. It's about, you now spoil everything again. Extreme. Okay? So, are there those who teach as though the purpose of man in the earth is marriage? Yes. But to correct that, don't drive to the other extreme. Don't make people feel like marry anybody. It's about the call of God. May God help you to see the call of God depending on who you marry. Say amen. Hallelujah. May God help you. Hallelujah. You say, it's not about who you marry. Amen. What am I saying to you? Please don't assume what I am not saying. Don't hear what I am not saying. The point I am making is this. The person you get married to can affect your destiny. You don't like that. It sounds like a generational curse, are we? Okay? I didn't say it can affect your destiny negatively, full stop. It can be positive, it can be negative. Praise God. I remember Reverend Tok saying that some people, the reason there will be no reward for them in heaven is their spouse. Some people, the reason the law of God is waxing cold in their hearts is their spouses. So it is an important issue. We shouldn't push it aside. Amen? Neither should we spend half of the year talking about it as though life depends on it. Amen? I mean, your pastor before you, I don't teach it during services. Public holidays. I mean, there's nothing wrong in that. It's just a style. But it doesn't really matter. As a matter of fact, the Bible exhorts the saints of God on their marriages. So we should humble ourselves to listen and not assume that. You know, usually when you listen too much to people's error and extremes, when you focus too much on it, you end up in another extreme. The point must be the Bible, not I want to prove those guys wrong. You will eventually be wrong. You will eventually develop an error. Okay, so every two Sundays in every month. That church is teaching on marriage. I say, no, 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 no. Then, you don't talk about it in 5 years. Right? And then you keep counseling and counseling. And you say, ah, no, now, not this person you should marry. No, no. So, like we did the last teaching, godly counsel on marital relationships. We talked about that, and it is good to start from here. Praise God. That yes, Genesis 1:27. Male and female created he them. Where are you? God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. We see the candidates for marriage. I was trying to say that, yes, when you look at Genesis 1:27 and particularly Genesis 2:24. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Yes, Moses did not write that to teach on marriage. Rather, he used marriage to teach on something. That's the essence of it. Because when you get to Matthew 19, when they ask Jesus on divorcement, and what is his view? When Moses said, when Moses allowed divorce, that should a man divorce his wife for every cause? And he said, have you not read? And then he quoted Genesis 1:27, Genesis 2:24, and concluded by explaining Moses. Because you must not see the Bible as a histological material. Yes, you find history in it. Yes, historical materials were used to document the Bible. For instance, in Genesis chapter 1, the things that you find there were not ministered to Moses by the Holy Ghost. There were things present in that day's world of knowledge. But he used that knowledge to then teach the children of Israel God's plan and purpose. Amen? Are you following this? Uh-huh. So yes, in looking at those texts, you shouldn't be too carried away to now think that all Moses was doing was to tell us that in the beginning there was man, and then man was splitted into two, male and female, and just telling us no. But at the same time, the scriptures that were used to teach, or the knowledge, the body of knowledge that was used to teach salvation in the scriptures, can be applied. To conduct ourselves aright in our marital relationships. Does that make sense? Are you following this? And we'll see it. What was Paul doing in Ephesians 5? He was exhorting the saints in the church at Ephesus, particularly those that were married, on how to treat one another, on their roles, in their marriage. And that largely must be understood if we are going to get a grip of what marriage is, why marriage, who qualifies when, and the Christian purpose to marriage. So firstly, we must ensure that we handle the Bible rightly. So we will not, because of what we have said now, some of that people will now drive again to the extreme that, no, it's not about God's plan, it's not about salvation. He was teaching marriage, and then you go to the extreme and begin to focus on what you shouldn't. Amen? Have you observed that the Bible seems to be silent on the woman? And at times, it even looks like oppressed. 1 Corinthians 14, from nowhere, verse 34, 35, let the woman be said, Keep short in the church. When it comes to divorce, let's talk about the woman. The man put away his wife. Put away. Of course, that is so for two reasons. Number one, the culture of that day was like that. Number two, there was a purpose for the writing. The writers were using marriage to teach something. So it will always have that bias from that perspective. We see in Bible, God called husband of Israel. Jesus in Revelation, the bridegroom. The church, the bride. Ephesians 5, Christ, husband. The church, the bride. So, that bias will be present in the Bible. You will not get to the point where the Bible now talks about divorce and say, the woman will put away her husband. That's man putting away God. Does that make sense? That's God coming in union with man, and then man will now say, I don't want again. Are you following that? So when it comes to a separation between God and man, it is only God that can put away. And that is why that narrative is present even in the New Testament writings, whereby he that believes is saved, he that believes not is damned. So if you don't read carefully, it will look like, because you don't believe, I will condemn you. I will judge you. No. It is an issue of, you have rejected my offer of salvation, deliverance, preservation, and safety. That is your condemnation. So it will present it as, it is the gospel that saves, it is the gospel that condemns. Are you following? That bias is present through 2 Corinthians 2. To some, a savior unto life, and to some, a savior unto death. Because as we go about preaching, the person that listens to us shall be saved. The person that doesn't listen, be condemned. John 20, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. John 20, 23. Amen. So, we must not, in trying to exhort the saints on marital relationships, cross certain boundaries. No, we shouldn't. We shouldn't take the book of Solomon and think all there is to it is the romantic affair between a man and a woman. And you think that's why that book is in the Bible. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. 2 Corinthians 3, 16. First Peter 1, 10 and 11, of which salvation the prophets are required. Prophets, including Solomon. Amen. They inquired and sat diligently of the grace that should come unto you. There is grace unto you in Solomon. Songs of Songs. Hallelujah. So it must be handled, but the scriptures can be applied to guide believers in choosing the right relationships and in living appropriately or responsibly in their marriage. Amen. Like I said, introduction is going to be brief, and then we'll conclude shortly. So, what is marriage? Marriage, in simple and general terms, is the coming together of two or more things. And so marriage occurs in different fields of life. A welder marries different metals skillfully to create something. A carpenter does so too. Marries different wood and at times material, fabric and this and that to create something that can be useful. This lectern was married. Different materials, aluminium and glass, brought together to serve the purpose for which it's serving now. Amen? So the marriage of male and female coming together ought to have a purpose. Don't you think so? A purposeful coming together. So the second question will tackle the why of marriage in marriage in itself. Then the last one, like I said, they are similar, but the difference has to do with the Christian purpose. Is there a Christian purpose to marriage? Amen. So if there are admonitions and exhortations in the Bible, then God is expectant of our behavior or our conduct or how we conduct ourselves in our marriages. Praise God. God has an expectation of how he wants his children to behave. How he wants his children to conduct themselves in their marriage. So, apparently, marriage in Bible in terms of marital relationship. Of course, you know that the union between man and Christ for salvation is a marriage. And that's why the typology or the narrative or illustration is used, or the proverb or parable. It's a marriage. 1 Corinthians 6 and 17, but he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. He that is married to the Lord is one spirit with him. Hallelujah. So, in studying, in learning, we must be specific. That's why I said in the previous teaching that we must not be careless with words, where we just generalize. Where we just assume that because you have learned the meaning of this word in a particular book, you just apply it everywhere. No. You stay within that book. Alright? Praise God. So, in the Bible, marriage is between male and female. It's important to say that. In Romans chapter 1, we can clearly see from verse 19 to 32 that it is not God's desire or creation for male and male to desire each other, or female and female, or for there to be more than two genders. It's not God's creation. Nothing is evolving. Men are going crazy. Sorry for that. Men are refusing to accept that a creator determined them to be male. And that's the essence. You don't just wake up and say, I was meant to be a dog. You don't crazy finish. I was meant to be born blind. That's delusional. And then you go take out your eyes. Which one went to spend? How much did you spend? Is it $30,000 a big cost to become animal? How much? Bring that money, I'll teach you. You'll find your identity in Christ.
and you fulfill an eternal purpose. I'll conduct a service for you alone. I'm not saying I'm cheap. I'm not cheap. But a soul is worth all the sacrifice. Hallelujah. Amen. So all of those things, hogwash. Now, the boundaries people cross, you know, the issues with errors and extremes, you keep finding it here and there, is to now say, if you are gay, you are going to hell. Take it easy. Eh? Calm down. A gay can believe in his heart that God raises us from the dead for his sins, and he will be saved. I say, no, what's this? What's this? I only created male and female. What's this? What's this? This is not man. It is man that I'm mindful of. Amen. So, a gay, a lesbian, can believe the gospel and be welcomed into the family of God. Then they now need teaching with impartation plus discipline. Amen. Say, I belong to woke generation. If I woke your head, male or female, amen. And really, you may not understand, because you're in Nigeria here, of course, the world has become a global village, but you may not understand the implication of these things because you live here. But you see how deranged people are. Just want to change. If you want to change looks, at least go and barb your hair. Or go and grow something. All right? But don't take it beyond the fact that you now say, there's a pastor, he's gay. No, that's not a pastor. Yes, the man has lost his mind in that area. Well, let me continue. I say, what church is this? Or is he gay? Amen. Relax. Hallelujah. So God loves all men, including the men who have crises in identifying who they are. Hallelujah. Praise God. I mean, do you know what it takes to just begin to think that I'm actually a bird? Bird. It takes a lot, including demonic assistance. And that's a fact. And maybe for some, not demonic, just, I don't know. But male and female qualify for marriage. One male, one female. All right? That's important. So those are the people that qualify. And the other side of qualification is to be old and mature enough to leave your father and mother. We can say other things. To be emotionally matured. I mean, nobody who cannot be available emotionally for another person should get married. There will be a problem. Stay single. Okay, don't even get into a relationship yet until you learn and are mature enough to handle relationships, to be emotionally available for another person. Amen? In Genesis 2:24, a man shall leave his father and mother. The Hebrew word azab, A-Z-A-B. it means to voluntarily cease or give up something. To willingly decide to start a family. To willingly decide to be emotionally available, physically available, and of course spiritually available, materially available for another person. So that must be understood amidst the feelings and the urges that you get as you grow up and mature. So it's not about, I feel like this towards this person and that's it. If you get married based on feelings, you will be disappointed. Amen? So male and female are the candidates, are those that qualify for marriage and those that are mature physically, emotionally. And other times you can say spiritually as well, because we're having this conversation in church. Amen? Because the reason we're saying it is not that you need to undergo discipleship for 15 years and do crusades all over the world and say you are now qualified for marriage, as though marriage is the ultimate. No. But the truth is, your spiritual maturity influences how you behave and conduct yourself. And therefore, it can and should be necessary in marital affairs. Amen? So again, male and female, any other pairing is senseless. Remember, we said that in the last teaching. So, what is marriage? Coming together of two things, in this case, male and female. One male, one female. That's marriage. Why marriage? For reproduction, for physical and emotional affection. And support. Just speaking from a natural perspective. And it goes as far to material support. Simple example. Two people, not married. They intend to get married, but they live apart. They work and all of that. By the time they come together, there's more resources. Amen. There's more material support, as it were, one to another. So, all of that can qualify for why marriage. You can expound each of those things that we have said. Amen? Of course, not forgetting that in Genesis 2:24, marriage between male and female is in the flesh. Not in sin, all right? That is, it's a bodily union. That is why in 1 Corinthians 6:17, it says that the joint of the Lord is one spirit. You know, some teach marriage to the point of saying, you know, when a man in Christ and a woman in Christ come together, there's a consummation by the spirit. Easy. It's a union in the flesh. It's a consummation that goes to God. Okay? Now, we're answering the questions, right? Who qualifies? Male and female. Old or mature enough to be emotionally available. Physically available. Materially available. You know, many people just look at it from the material aspect alone and forget the other side. No! All of that together. And then if we're going to speak about this within the church setting, I I don't think that we should encourage people, especially when it's within the church setting. I don't think we should encourage people who have not achieved anything, naturally and spiritually, to be endeavoring into marriage because they will have problems. Now, I'm not saying that people cannot get married and then get born again. Of course, that can happen. I'm not saying that people can be spiritually immature and get married. Yes, they can. But if we are going to go by ideals in terms of this person is in this church, this person is in 100 level, and then once he's thinking of getting married, except you are the different type of 100 level. 100 level that fends for himself. 100 level that has an apartment. 100 level that has 2 degrees before. Amen. Or 100 level that has seen life. But you are just, all you just did was step out of womb. You still take honorarium. All right? And then you are thinking of how to get married. Take it easy. Get something for yourself. Complete your education. Right? Get something. What do you want to achieve? Okay, I want to achieve that. I want to achieve that. Is it possible while you get married? Yes. Okay, you can go ahead when the other factors have been fulfilled. But hey, focus on finding direction in life. Is it possible to get into a relationship and then find direction? Yes. But is it a general thing? No. There are young people get into a relationship and it's a problem. Because someone who is maturing can be unstable. So the point is to get stable, right, and then venture into it. Okay? So let's also not fall into the error of we are spiritual people, and therefore we don't consider the other things. We don't consider that this person is not emotionally mature, this person is not physically mature, this person is not materially mature, this person is not ready for this, but we say, no, we have the Holy Ghost. We have the Holy Ghost. We'll get married, we'll be fine. We'll be okay. We'll be this, we'll be that. No, take it easy. Amen? Do the things that need to be done, achieve things for yourself, get mature, learn whatever you need to learn, amen. And when it comes to spiritually speaking, I mean, there should be things that you should have crossed. You join a church, and the next thing is that you found a sister. You know that? Finish membership school, join workforce. Close your eyes with the sister first. If she's taken while you are waiting, then she's gone. Find another person. Take it easy. I mean, it's from there that doctrinal errors also come. Maybe we begin to hear things. All for a brother, a sister. All right? Settle down in the local church. I believe that we can delay our feelings and gratification, right? Yes, I'm feeling affectionate towards this person, but this is not the time. It's not now. I just joined church and the next thing is sister. He will be scared of you now. Don't you think so? As a church. So if sister says no, another one is going to be haunted. Take it easy. Grow up small. Right? Be stable. Understand the terrain. Amen? There are those who will go and speak to another sister and they don't know that she's in a relationship with someone who is not within the local church. Take it easy. Time will tell that I'm in a relationship. Okay. And then feelings will die by the Spirit of God. And you face life. Or look elsewhere. Amen? So, take things easy. Grow up on all sides. Don't grow forever too. Grow up on all sides. And then, of course, venture into that. When? If someone answered it, get something for yourself. when you are emotionally, physically mature. Materially mature doesn't mean you own all the world first. You can handle basic things, great. Then it's okay. At times, it can be age factor, it can be mental factor. I don't mean mental issue. Mental factor in terms of you're not ready. Okay? It can be a spiritual factor. You still need to grow up. And it can be any of those things at different stages. You could find someone who is physically mature but not ready in other facets. You can find someone who is not physically mature, but is emotionally mature and not materially mature. And then maybe, okay, that person can start something that will eventually lead to marriage. So we need to understand those things and not just close our eyes. You know, like people would say during the, what they call courtship period, and then all you do is come together and study the Bible. Is that what will be happening in the family? Studying the Bible, studying the Bible. You only see yourselves when you are looking spiritual. I thought you now get married and say, I think I made a mistake. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Amen? So, is there a Christian purpose to it? So, look at all of this and then I will close with Ephesians chapter 5. And 33. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22-23. If you're there, say amen. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Please open your Bible, everybody. Ephesians 5:22-33. We're reading together. If you're there, say amen. One, to go. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. So ought men to love their wives, and for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife. This is a great mystery. Nevertheless, so love his wife. Hallelujah. Praise God. So from what we've read, isn't it obvious that Paul addressed saints who are married in the church and in the church at Ephesus on their roles in their marriage? Huh? Huh? Yes, sir. Amen. So we can as well picture a meeting where he taught them from the Bible on behaving themselves appropriately as husband and as wives. Praise God. So, as it is in everything, don't leave certain areas of your life to chance. Learn what you need to learn.
In areas where feelings and emotions are involved, people often get deceived in terms of not learning what they should learn. They say, I'll be with you for the rest of my days. But I love you to return. That's been a long time I heard that. As no longer in this generation's language. Amen. And I mean all of that, but you do not learn what you're supposed to learn. Right? Yes, some people took it far and beyond. You know, you need to learn the compatibility, the chemistry, and the everything. You know, start calling yourself different things. Melancholy, phlegmatic, penguin. Sorry. Sanguine, right? What's the last one? Choleric. Yeah. You know, start learning. And you now say, I'm choleric. Yeah, and then I say, no, choleric and sanguine, right? Choleric and sanguine cannot relate with each other, but they are new creatures. Amen? So, things like that. So, people now took that, just get married. You're born of God. No. Learn what you need to learn. Amen? Understand things. We learn by observation. We learn. Praise God. We learn by teaching. We learn. Glory to God. We learn. So therefore, whatever needs to be learned can. But of course, I'm not leaving that open-ended whereby you now start taking out materials, you're reading about everything, how to live together after marriage. And now listen to steps. Steps. You do this. When your husband does this, do that. When your wife does this, do that. You know, at the end of the day, you will get the point. Amen. I mean, like, you see on social media here and there, and say, 5 steps, 5 this, and all of that. Someone will just reply, don't worry, when you get married, you will write the steps. Hallelujah. Okay, so obviously, Paul exhorted the saints, not the unbelievers, on how to relate with themselves as marital partners. Yet as believers in Christ. Okay? And therefore, the single, the intending to propose, the engaged, about to be married, and the single, you know, we have to say that again, because at times, single, nobody, really single, you know, all need to learn from this. Amen? The truth is, our Christian life influences our life, every area. Don't say, it's not about it, it's about getting a degree, however, then you cheat in your exams. No. Why? Why should you do that? Study like everybody. Go for the exams and do it honestly. Right? And leave the rest. Amen, amen. Okay. So, I'll conclude with the last verse so that I don't take it further than this. I told you just introduction. And that's fine. So, he tells the husband and the wives on how to conduct themselves on their roles in the marriage. So, in 33, he says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. And this was counsel, wisdom, given to marital partners on how to relate with themselves and be examples to their children, to the society, even in their marriage. Understand your role and play it well in the marriage. Let the husbands, that's what it means, every one of you, love his wife, even as himself. Okay? And the man is the husband, the man is the head of that marriage. And he gives him that responsibility to be sacrificial, to be responsible. But the wife, he doesn't say that to her. He says, your role in the marriage is reverence. Reverence. And so it's important not to... Yes, we will not entirely embrace their culture or their worldview, which people misconstrue today by saying that a woman must not teach. A woman cannot be a pastor and all of that. We must not entirely embrace the things that they practice then. But there's wisdom that we can learn from it, and there are things that we must embrace. Amen? Amen? So, in a marital setting, never in trying to be so loving, be so understanding, and all of that, begin to develop a marriage that has no head. Amen? A marriage that has no body who is leading. So we are both leading. He seems want to be logical and make sense, but he really doesn't. Amen? In headship, in leadership, one person. And from Bible, we know who that is. And so the role of the wife is to reverence. And like I told you, I've said it again and again. A man who knows the worth of his wife will not subject her to oppression. It's that simple. A man who knows the value of his wife will allow her to take the lead in certain areas. Will nourish and cherish her. Did you see that? What Christ does to the church, the husband ought to do to his wife. I don't know. You can't cook. You can't do anything. Pay for culinary school. You cannot pay. You can't cook. You can't cook. You can't cook. Pay. Buy material. You can't cook. You can't cook. You can't. I know we don't do that here. And I know. And I'll continue to know. Amen. Praise God. yeah. I mean, you are sounding like they gave you a child to tutor. I'm not saying your wife is your child. But they gave you a child to tutor. I said, you can't even pass. Can't pass, can't pass. Whose failure is that? Whose joke? The joke is on who? Amen? So when we understand our roles, it helps us in the relationship. Amen? I believe you learned one or two things. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and thank God. Just give Him praise. Give praise to Him.